Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's message. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if this message has inspired you to take your next step in faith, please let us know by reaching out to us through social media or the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you through His word today. Blessings.
Today we come to the fourth question in this series of messages on questions in the Bible. The first question that I dealt with in part one of this series, and the very first question in the Bible, is not a question from God. It was a question from Satan, the accuser, the enemy of our souls. And by the way, the name Satan literally means accuser. And so Satan, the accuser, tempted Eve in the garden with the question, did God really say? That is a question that all of us need to ask and to answer. How we answer that very first question in the Bible is what shapes our lives and our destinies. Did God say? If the answer to that question is yes, God did say, then what are we going to do about it? Now, the next two questions that I dealt with in this series of messages were questions from God in the book of Genesis. But now, as we move over to the book of Job, the fourth question, like the first one, is also a question from Satan. And here it is. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? For added clarity, there is another translation that I found that puts it like this. Satan replied, would Job worship you if he got nothing out of it? You see, what we're looking at here today, folks, is a blatant attack on motives. Satan, the accuser, was attacking the very foundation of Job's life for the purpose of condemnation and destruction, because that's what Satan does. That's his nature. Jesus said the thief does not come except to steal. The devil will rob you blind if you allow him. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. We also read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, that the devil is the accuser of God's people, and he accuses them before God day and night. He never lets up. His strategy of accusation and condemnation is relentless. And that's why the Word of God tells us, here's a word for us today, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The word wiles, as it is in the King James, or the word scheme here, is a military word. It's a word for military strategy. It's a plan for death and destruction. And that's what the enemy does. He schemes. He plots in order to accuse us, to condemn us. But understand this today. The foundation, the motivation of anyone seeking to live for God is both the love of God and the fear of God. You who love the Lord, hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. fear God and keep His commandments. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. You see, folks, there are things that we do, and there are things that we don't do. When our motive is to love God and to fear God. But this is exactly where Satan attacks. This is where he attacked Job. This is where he attacks us. He attacks motive. He questions, do you really love God? Do you really fear God for nothing? Or are you in this only for the blessings? Are you in it only for what you can get out of it? Motive is an issue for us because as human beings, we know that our motives are mixed at times. We know as human beings that sometimes our motives are less than pure. And this is where the devil tries to seize upon this, to put a wedge between us and God, and to cause us to question our own motives for the purpose of bringing doubt into our lives and a lack of confidence as a Christian believer. Motive is a matter of the heart, as is faith. And that's why it's a battleground in spiritual warfare. This issue of motive that I'm dealing with today was the catalyst for Job's entire story. There are three important facts about Job given to us in the very first verse of the book of Job. And those same three things, they're repeated again in verse 8 of the book of Job. What are they? Number one, Job was blameless. Number two, Job feared God. Number three, Job shunned evil. And you see, because of this, there was nothing for Satan to latch on to. Job did not give the devil a foothold like we might be prone to do at times. All Satan could do was to conjure up this scheme of attack against Job's motives. I wonder today, have any of you ever had your motives questioned? Any of us who have ever had our motives questioned, we know the hurtful nature of this question. Have you ever worked hard for something and your motives are right, and yet you hear murmuring and rumors about your real agenda? Or maybe you've done something really good and noble only to have someone question what you're trying to get out of it. What's in it for you? Some people don't see a whole lot of difference between preachers and politicians. But I will tell you this. You can't be either one of those without having your motives questioned at times. Anyone in the public eye might have their motives questioned. I want to tell you about one preacher who had his authority and motives questioned. This man was incredible. This preacher, he was energetic and focused, passionate. He planted a church and the church grew. But then it wasn't long until rumors started flying about his motives. His authority was questioned. And so this preacher found it necessary to circulate a letter. And you can read all about the Apostle Paul's letter in 2 Corinthians. They challenged his motives. And what about Jesus? Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God, the sinless Son of God. His motives were pure. Acts 10:38 tells us Jesus went about doing good and healing the oppressed. Jesus quoted from the prophet Isaiah in Luke chapter 4 when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives." His motives were absolutely pure, and yet his enemies, they attacked his motives, they attacked his authority, they accused him of being too close to sinners, to being a friend of sinners, they accused him of being a glutton and a wine bibber. When Jesus miraculously healed a demon-possessed man that was blind, they said that he did it by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. So they attacked Jesus. They questioned his motives. And folks, if Satan will use people to do that to Paul and to Jesus, then he will try to use people to question us. And the devil will try to get us to question our own motives. At times, Satan is like a prosecuting attorney in a courtroom. He's there to bring charges against us for the purpose of accusation and condemnation. When I was praying and I chose this question, I thought this is going to be a tough one. And I was praying and seeking God, and I remembered something in the Old Testament. I want you to look at this. This scene in the Old Testament. Then the angel showed me Jeshua. Most translations use the word Joshua. It's interchangeable. The angel showed me Jeshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. The accuser, Satan, was there at the angel's right hand, making accusations against Jeshua. And the Lord said to Satan, "I, the Lord, reject your accusation, Satan. Yes, the Lord, who has chosen Jerusalem, rebukes you." This man is like, look at this. This man is like a burning stick that has been snatched from the fire. Now watch what happens here. Jeshua's clothing was filthy. This guy was filthy as he stood there before the angel. So the angel said to the others standing there, "Take off his filthy clothes." And turning to Jeshua, he said, "See, I have taken away your sins, and now I'm giving you these new fine clothes." God, look, folks, God was saying to the devil, "Hands off! This man belongs to me. I've forgiven his sins. I've snatched him from the fires of hell and judgment. And there's nothing you can say or do about it. Case closed." God says this man was a dirty mess. I'll tell you something right now. When the Lord found me, I was a dirty mess. This man was a dirty mess, but God said, "I do not condemn him. I have taken away his sins and given him new, clean clothes." Folks, this is a beautiful picture. I hope you can see this today. This is a beautiful picture of what it means to be a Christian. God overrules Satan's accusations. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. We have clothed ourselves in the righteousness of Jesus Christ through His blood, through His sacrifice on the cross for us. Romans chapter 8 is, as you know, a great chapter in the Bible. There are several questions. I'm going to probably preach on one of these, if God leads. Who is he who condemns? There's a question. Here's another question. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? And then we have that great verse, Romans 8:1. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Can anyone say amen to that today? John wrote to the church, he said, I'm writing this to you, my children, so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have someone who pleads with the Father on our behalf. The word advocate is someone who stands in the gap for us to defend us. We have one who pleads with the Father on our behalf, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So this question about Job, hey, he's just in it for what he can get out of it. You know, there always have been and probably always will be what I call religious consumers. There are people, I hope you're not one of them today. I hope that you have a desire in your heart to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, to follow Him every day, not just to come in to church on Sunday morning, but to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. I hope that's true for you. But there are people who are religious consumers. They're in it for what they could get out of it. They want to follow God on their own terms. Jesus had a group like that. They were following Him because of the excitement of the miracles. They were following Him because He gave them food. He put food in their stomachs by performing a miracle. But when Jesus started teaching some difficult things and to challenge them, then they all began to leave. In fact, Jesus had to turn to His inner circle. He said, are you going to leave me also? You see, they weren't in it for the discipleship. They weren't responding to the call of the discipleship, the ones that were that left. But the disciples were there, and they were going to stay there because they loved Jesus and were called to be disciples. If there's anything that the book of Job proves, it's that Job had an all or nothing relationship with God. And Satan tried to drive a wedge between Job and his God. Satan came along and said to God, Job's only in it for what he can get out of it. He's only serving you because you've blessed him, because you prospered him. If you take it all away, he will curse you. But guess what? Not even unspeakable personal tragedy, not even unspeakable physical affliction could sever Job's relationship to God. And here's some good news for you today. Nothing could separate us from the love of God. This sermon, you know, most of my sermons have some major points and enumerated, and this is not one of them. This sermon may not even be as long as what I normally preach. But this is what God put on my heart. Here's the question. Does Job fear God for nothing? You know what the answer to that is? Yes. Job did fear God for nothing. Job loved and feared God because God is God. And because God is God, God is good. And you know what God did? In the end, Job received twice as much as he had in the beginning. As I was thinking about Job, I also thought about Joseph in the Old Testament, because I see a similarity between Job and Joseph. They both teach us that sometimes bad things can happen to good people. You look at Job, you look at Joseph. Joseph was betrayed by his own family, sold into slavery, falsely accused, placed in prison. All these things happen. What I love about the story of Joseph, though, is both in the Old Testament and in the book of Acts, and in places in the New Testament, you find a phrase, and the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord was with Joseph through all of it. And the Lord raised Joseph up. What I'm saying today is, instead of listening to the accusation of the devil, we need to hear, we need to hear the approval of God on our lives. Proverbs 16:2, motives are weighed by the Lord. Do you know the Lord knows everything that's in our heart? He knows it all. He knows what the motives are, what the purpose is. Look at this verse. I'm going to close with this. I just came upon this morning. And I thought I'm going to close the sermon with this. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. Our purpose is to please God. There's the motive. There's the purpose. To please God. Not people. I found out something a long time ago. If you try to please people versus God, you're going to run into some problems. Our purpose is to please God, not people. The disciples said we must obey God rather than man. But it says here, He alone examines the motives of our hearts. So, the devil tried to destroy Job. Job struggled. Make no mistake about it. He questioned. He struggled. He complained. He went through all of it. But in the end, nothing could separate him from his God. And so, we need to check our hearts today. Why are you in it?